ATC is go.
Thank you, Boost is go.
ATC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Brightside Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen sitting up straight in a chair at the National Patriot. Diane Sorey semi-reclined at the Patriot Factor. Diane, not a good day to be sitting in your desk chair, is it?
No, I'm not sitting in my desk chair because we sat in it all long, you know, all day long, guys. We are almost ready for our website to click in here.
Diane and I spent a gratuitous amount of time today sitting at our computers, loading elements into the new website. We are so close, so damn close.
Yes, just a couple of little glitches, but I've overdone my sitting for the day by hours. I just couldn't sit up now.
I don't blame you. Now, tap your microphone for me. Now, see, here's the thing tonight, folks. Diane is having some Skype issues. Her regular microphone is, for whatever reason, not connecting to her computer, and therefore she is coming through on the built-in computer from her machine, not from her standalone mic. Therefore, you may hear a little bit of background noise. She may not sound quite as rich and bountiful as she normally does, but we're going to get through this show one way or the other.
Well, let's preface this by saying this is a Skype issue. Somewhere in the hour that Craig and I have been disconnected, Skype has done an update.
And oh, wonderful.
My Yeti settings, which is my standalone microphone, is no longer here. Skype removed it. They did some kind of update within the hour and removed it.
So we're going to have to figure that out maybe tomorrow.
Yes.
We can go in there and play around, try and figure that out. But look, it's a little bit different format for the show tonight. Okay, we're still in the 90-minute format, but rather than individual segments and quick hitters and all that kind of stuff, tonight's show is just kind of a freewheeling, downhill in a wagon without any brakes talk show.
Yes. A lot of things have been happening this week, guys, and we just felt you needed to know about it.
Well, and it's such a plethora of things that we need to talk about tonight. We didn't write anything, and we probably won't write anything for Friday's show either, just because there's so much of this stuff going on that we felt like if we wrote articles, we'd be rewriting articles we've already written.
Right.
Okay, so with that in mind, what we decided to do is just keep track of things that have been going on over the last few days since we last met on Friday, and just kind of bring you a freewheeling discussion of some of these weird, different topics that are going on. There's some serious stuff. There's some not so serious stuff. There's even some geeky science stuff.
Yeah, we love the geeky stuff.
Now, let's start with one piece of geeky science, because yesterday was the 51st anniversary of Neil Armstrong first setting foot on the moon.
Yes.
51 years ago, Diane, can you believe it?
No. No, I can't.
I mean, I remember sitting there in front of the little black and white Magnavox TV we had in 1969 and watching that fuzzy, kind of grainy, high contrast image. And it, I remember it being at just a little bit of an odd angle at first. And it was kind of hard to see what was going on. But once I kind of got my mind focused in on it, you could see Armstrong coming down the ladder. You could see Buzz Aldrin coming down the ladder. You could see the two of them walking around. What I remember most about that visually, that was so different from future Apollo missions. Now, remember, Apollo 11 was the first one down. Apollo 12 landed, but the camera burned out within minutes.
Right.
Apollo 13 never made it to the surface. So we went from Apollo 11 to Apollo 14 without really seeing what was going on. By the time we got to Apollo 14, the camera was much more mobile. They would set it up in different places, and you could see wider shots. On the original Apollo 11, the camera was kind of locked onto the side of the lunar lander. And you got one view, and you see the astronauts as they passed in front of it.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of different from what we got used to seeing later in the Apollo program. You know, and of course, you know, 15, 16, 17, they had the rovers and the camera went with them, and man, did we see a lot of the moon.
Yeah, not that there's that much to see. It's very desolate, dusty, very rocky.
Yeah, it is, you know, and Buzz Aldrin on Apollo 11 called it magnificent desolation.
Yes.
And that's a pretty good term for it.
It really is.
You know, but what we did get to see, I mean, in the different stages of Apollo, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, we saw different landscapes. We saw some that were much more rocky, some that were had much bigger hills around them. You know, and as they took the rover out, you would see the edge of craters. You would see long shots of them going out to big boulders and coming back and things. And then in the last two, 16 and 17, they had the camera working to the point where when the LEM lifted off from the surface, the camera would pan up and follow it up into the moon sky,
mm-hmm.
which was very cool. But 51 years ago, man first walked on the moon.
Yeah, what I find it very interesting about all of that is what people don't really know. Neil Armstrong was not the original choice. An astronaut by the name of Elliot C. was the one that they were considering before Armstrong.
Right.
Unfortunately, he was killed in a plane crash going to a training mission.
It was one of those T-38 trainers that went down and unfortunately took his life. He, had it not been for that, he would have been probably the first man on the moon.
Right, and my dad knew him.
Wow.
And we have a picture back in my parents' house of him training for the mission. But unfortunately, he was killed.
Now, I was reading something the other day. One of the scientists from the Apollo program You know, they did a lot of calculations to figure out where to land Apollo 11. And this particular gentleman, I can't think of his name right now, he was in charge of picking out the landing site at the Sea of Tranquility. And he picked out the flattest, the smoothest part of the Sea of Tranquility that was available. And said, okay, that's where we're going to land. Now, a lot of people remember, as Neil Armstrong approached the surface of the moon with Buzz Aldrin kind of calling out the latitude and longitude and altitude and all that, all of a sudden Armstrong had to take over flying the thing because it was on computer guidance. He took over flying it because they were heading for an area of boulders the size of automobiles.
Yeah, it could have damaged the ship, and they might have not gotten back.
Now, here's the problem. They landed, thanks to Armstrong and his abilities, they landed 4 kilometers away from where they were supposed to land. And the mission control, when the Eagle touched down and said, you know, the Eagle has landed, Mission Control had no idea exactly where it was or why it wasn't where it was supposed to be. What they found out between Apollo 11 and Apollo 12 is that when the lunar module separated from the command module, it picked up speed. The push from the separation made it go too fast, and it wound up overshooting its target area, and they wound up 4 kilometers away from where they were supposed to. It was a simple miscalculation. They had no idea that letting go of the command module would accelerate the LEM the way it did.
Well, it doesn't really matter because 4 kilometers when you're going all those miles away, that's nothing.
Well, it's nothing in the grand scheme of, you know, the odometer, right? But when it comes to, you know, we're going to land right here and you wind up landing over there, they you know, that 4 kilometer distance, they had no idea where the LEM was. It took them a while to figure out exactly where the darn thing had landed. But then once they figured out why that happened, then they were able to build that into the equation. So further landings, 12 through 17, that was all taken into account, and they went right exactly where the computer told them to go.
Well, remember, those computers back then were not as fine-tuned, shall we say, as our computers are today.
Not even close.
And what they did with the abilities that they had and the capabilities that they had, really, when you think about it, we put men on another world.
Now, the difference between 1969 and today, we are able to take a rover and shoot it at Mars, and which is obviously a lot further away than the moon.
Sure.
There are no people on board that thing, and with the computer guidance capability that we have today, we're able to land that thing within about 100 yards of where we pinpointed it.
Well, what I'm excited about is pretty soon, you know, they've had to push back the date again, but pretty soon the bio mission is going to Mars, and that one, because I'm involved with it through somebody else, I mean, I am so looking forward to that.
Well, that's just that's going to be so cool because that's a bigger rover. It's got more cool equipment on it. It's going to do more things. It's got more instruments. It's got better cameras. It's, I mean, it's a whole world different from Opportunity and Curiosity and those. And man, what they're going to learn from that. Oof.
It's similar. It's similar and different at the same time. It's going to be able to actually dig into the Martian surface and actually analyze segments from the surface itself, send back all the information. It's actually going to be looking for biological or microbic life or fossils.
So cool that we can do that from so far away.
Yes.
You know, it's what we're going to learn from this new one.
And I want to go to that stunning launch.
I know you do. I'd love to go to that launch. But we're going to have more science geeky stuff a little bit later in the show. But for right now, let's kind of get to some of the politics, some of the different things going on politically in Michigan. Diane, a teacher, was fired because of a tweet he put up on Twitter, and it was a very simple tweet. Trump is our president.
Right. Right. And this has gotten so out of hand as far as I'm concerned. I am sick of the Democrats. I am sick of BLM. I am sick of Antifa. I am sick of all of it. This is all media generated, Democrat initiated, and they are destroying our country. They are trying to complete Obama's fundamental change of America. When a teacher gets fired just for saying Trump is our president, we have serious, serious problems, folks.
Here's the deal. The guy, his name is Justin Kuchera.
Right.
Okay, that's the teacher's name, Justin Kuchera. Trump is our president. He expressed some support for schools reopening this fall. Okay. And he says, and I quote, "I was required to meet with human resources, the superintendent, and my principal on July 10th. They initially took my statement on why I tweeted those tweets, and they told me they would have a decision about my future employment in the upcoming days. When they completed the meeting, I was told I had the option to either be fired or resign."
Well, I like what he actually told the Free Beacon. He said, "I know a lot of people are just rooting for Trump to fail, and I don't think that anybody should do that, agree with him or not. You should want the president to do well. I apologized for that in my tweet, brought so much negativity and negative attention, but I'm not sorry for what I said," and kudos to him.
Absolutely. I mean, here's a guy that gets it, okay? The kids need to be back in school. Trump is our president, okay? I mean, for that, he gets fired. Now, I guarantee you, had he gone on and tweeted support for Black Lives Matter, tweeted support for keeping the schools closed because of rampaging COVIDs, tweeted his support for Antifa, he would have been fine, probably would have gotten a raise.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This whole thing with the politicalization of COVID, and now they've brought the children into it through the schools. What they're trying to do now is not just dumb down the next generation, but deny them an education.
Yeah.
So then they can educate them through the mainstream liberal media the way they want them educated. Schools need to be open. Children need to go back to school. They're lying about the numbers in COVID, for COVID. Florida's a perfect example. We reported on that last week, how the numbers have been totally, totally falsified. This has gotten way out of hand, folks. And let me pose it to you this way. If you never heard the term COVID-19 and you saw the numbers you're seeing now, what you'd actually think was we have a bad flu season.
Right. That's it. That's all you'd think.
That's right.
You know? Now, you talk about the numbers and the false numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you find it interesting that as soon as Trump said that hospitals have to report numbers to the White House rather than to the CDC, that all of a sudden, Florida, Now, we talked about this on Friday. The numbers in Florida have radically changed. Right?
Right.
They've been false reporting COVID numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden, when the president says hospitals have to report their numbers to the White House instead of to the CDC, Florida comes up and says, oops, we've been miscounting numbers. And Florida's numbers went from 90,000 cases to 11,000 cases.
Right. And the big thing, my husband works in a hospital. He works with COVID patients if they come into the pulmonology office. The number that people are missing, no matter what the media is reporting, it's not so much the number of cases because they're getting milder. It's the number of deaths.
Right.
The death rate is not drastically increasing by any means because what's happening is they're calling anybody who presents to a hospital who might test positive for COVID, but they didn't die of COVID, is still being listed as dying of COVID. In other words, if someone comes in presenting with a heart attack and they do the swab and they find out they're positive, they're going to list it as COVID death when it's not. It's a heart attack death. Right. Same thing for cancer and other diseases. You can die with COVID, but not of COVID.
If you jump out of an airplane and your parachute doesn't open and you hit the ground at 120 miles an hour, which is terminal velocity, and they swab your what's left of you and find you were positive for COVID, that's a COVID death.
Exactly.
And it's got nothing to do with a malfunctioning parachute.
Right. The whole thing is they're just not telling the truth about the numbers. No one is saying that COVID isn't real. It's absolutely real. People are getting sick and people are dying. But you can't have people presenting with things but not dying of it. Now, the big thing that came out on Friday, he announced it on Friday. I had put it up within a few hours. Florida now has a 16% exposure rating for the amount of the population. 16% of our population has already gotten herd immunity. Herd immunity is starting to kick in.
That's a good thing.
And this is what we need. Iceland has totally gotten rid of COVID through herd immunity. They didn't close down. They didn't shut their economy. They didn't wear masks and all that. They didn't do social distancing. They basically let it go, treated it, of course, whatever. They got rid of it. Yes, they're a much smaller population. No one's comparing their size to our country. But what we should be comparing is how they handled it.
Social distancing in Iceland would be redundant.
Right, right.
To begin with.
Right.
You know, social distancing, and you and I have been saying this for 4 months. Literally, we started saying this back in April. Okay? The way to kick COVID in the butt is herd immunity.
Exactly. Exactly. What simply, the more people exposed to the virus, okay, antibodies are built up, whatever, immunities are built up, but usually, not always, but usually, as a virus takes hold within a population, it tones itself down. A virus doesn't really want to kill you because if it kills you, you being the host die with the virus. And the virus dies, I should say, the virus dies with you.
Right.
It's losing its food, basically. It doesn't want you dead, per se. if you can understand that in right. really in layman's terms. If you're dead, the virus is going to die with you.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the coronas and the rampaging of them.
Yes.
An Oxford, not study, but research, Oxford research, they say they are right on the edge of having an actual vaccine for it. They've developed a vaccine using monkey cells.
Okay.
And this vaccine boosts your T cells. And the T cells in your body is what fights viruses. And Oxford is saying they've got huge hopes for this. In limited studies, it's working excessively well, and they're now ready to do a study with 30,000 people.
Well, let me tell you something about that. I know what you're talking about. Let's go back to the flu again. They can have a wonderful vaccine for this strain of right. COVID-19. What's going to happen in the winter when this strain morphs into another strain and that vaccine becomes useless?
Exactly. Now, I don't know if this vaccine is multitasking.
I don't believe it is.
I don't know if it's going to attack just one virus or if the boost in your T cells will attack any of them. I don't know. Oxford's very excited about it. We'll see. Well, we'll see what happens. But you're right, because if the virus mutates, and even a little bit, it could throw off the whole plan for the vaccine. We're stuck with COVID. COVID is just going to be like another seasonal flu. It's going to be around.
Right. Unless it eventually burns itself out, which has happened. Remember, some flus, like the Spanish flu of 1918, that particular strain in that severity has not come back yet.
Good point. Yeah.
Okay. They do burn themselves out at times. The other thing is, and this has been going around on a lot of sites lately, COVID viruses do exist in nature. That's a fact.
Right.
More and more people seem to be jumping on the bandwagon that this was biologically engineered, that the Chinese took a virus, a COVID, and mutated it in their labs. Now, I'm not a conspiratorist. I don't put any credence in conspiracy theories. However, this virus is doing certain things that other COVID-type viruses have not done. And that just puts a little shadow over things, because China is not seeing a resurgence of this in the numbers we are. Europe is not seeing a resurgence of this in the numbers we are. We are being hit the hardest.
Now, there could be other reasons for that, too. First of all, we don't know if numbers coming out of China are anywhere accurate.
I don't believe the Chinese numbers, but I do believe the Italian numbers, because remember, they were very hard hit in the beginning.
Right. But did they
going down.
But did they socially distance the way we did? Did they lock down? Did they mandatorily quarantine everybody and not let them out of the house? I mean,
towns were locked down.
But could they have developed herd immunity faster?
Yes.
See, because that could play a big part in why they haven't seen the resurgence.
Yeah. Now, and the other thing is, are we really seeing a resurgence? Or is this basically the status quo of the first wave? It seems the virus seems to be moving in different parts of the country. Remember, it was a couple of months ago, New York and the Northeast were target zero, ground zero. Now, all of a sudden, the southern states are. And why is that? Because the people from up north were trying to escape to the states in the south, which were less infected in the beginning.
Right. So there's so many different factors. We don't really know, you know, that it's the virus acting a certain way or people acting a certain way that's causing more cases to pop up. But Diane said earlier, it's absolutely true, and we got to get to the bottom of the hour break here. The numbers to pay attention to are the death toll numbers.
Right.
And those numbers are going down.
Yes.
So that's where you got to be focused.
The severity of the people being admitted in general, we're not saying everyone, but the severity in general, more people are being sent home because they can take care of themselves at home.
More people are recovering.
More,
you know?
98 point something recover?
It's 99.4 now are recovering.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go.
Folks, and you don't have that number from the flu, folks.
No, you don't. You don't. Not even close. Look, we got to get to the bottom of the hour break here, but stay tuned, folks, because we've got a lot more topics to discuss other than COVID coming up on the show tonight. Stay with us. More Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. Diane Sori over there at the Patriot Factor. Tuesday night edition of the show. A little different format tonight, Diane. It's a talk show. No set segments tonight, other than we have to take the breaks at the proper time. But outside of that, it's just kind of freewheeling.
That's okay. It's a nice change of pace. Because like you said in the beginning, Craig, if we wrote again this week, we would just be writing the same thing in different words.
Right. And you know, it just didn't seem to make any sense, folks, to do that. Therefore, while you will find this particular program on Podbean tomorrow morning, if you miss any part of it, go to Podbean, look up Right Side Patriots. There we will be. There won't be any links to give you to various articles tonight.
Right.
Okay, because right. we're just freewheeling tonight.
Right. And again, we're sorry about the sound, But somehow, late this afternoon, Skype did an update and did away with the Yeti microphones.
That's Diane's microphone. Mine's still working. I mean, here, let me thump it. See?
Yeah, yours is. Mine is.
So,
and yet it's showing, folks, it's showing that it's working.
And it's not. You know, it's one of those weird things. It's a Skype deal. We've got it narrowed down to that. We'll work on it tomorrow and see if we can't get it straightened out in time for Friday's show, which I think we can do. We just didn't realize it until a few minutes before we went on the air tonight. I went, Diane, is your mic connected? Yeah. No,
well,
I don't think so.
We were working on the website. It was working.
Yeah, it was fine then, but, you know, hey, look, it is what it is. Let's go from Michigan, where we were talking about a teacher who got fired because he tweeted Trump is our president. Let's head to the West Coast, California. Redwood City, California. It's actually right next to San Francisco. It's in that kind of Bay Area. They have one of those fabulous Black Lives Matter murals that was painted on a street. You know, the ones in bright yellow paint so you can see them from space.
Oh, God.
Right? Well, the city of Redwood City is removing it. They're washing it off the street. It's gone. But guess why?
It's not for the reason that people think.
Trump supporter came along and said, look, if you're going to have that on a street, we want a MAGA 2020 on the same road.
And what's fair is fair.
Yeah, and Redwood City said, oh, no, no MAGA 2020, no, this is the left coast, left coast. We're not going to have that out here. So they, instead of putting 2020 MAGA, they're removing the BLM.
Yes, and I'm going to say here and now, and I don't care who gets mad at me, who gets angry at me, I don't care anymore. I am sick of this Black Lives Matter BS. And I'm going to say this now to Black Lives Matter. Black lives will only matter when white lives, brown lives, red lives, yellow lives, and blue lives, as in police officers, matter too. Your lives are no better or higher up or anything than anybody else's lives.
Exactly. Now, the woman who wanted this done, she's a real estate attorney. Her name is Maria Rutenberg. She saw the Black Lives Matter on Broadway Street in her city. She said, I figured that's going to be a new public space open for discussion, and I wanted to get my message out too. So she requested to put a MAGA 2020 paint thing on the very same street, Broadway Street. She said the city did not respond, but they promptly removed the Black Lives Matter mural.
Well, here's something interesting. In New York City, of all places, a Black woman opposing the Black Lives Matter movement, she was arrested on Saturday for dumping paint on a BLM street mural outside Trump Tower.
Very interesting. Now, here's a little compare and contrast for you. Okay, she wasn't arrested just once. She was arrested two or three times in the last 5 days for doing this, right? Mm-hmm. The charge is vandalism. Vandalism. Right. However, looting, arson, destruction of statues, tearing down of statues, none of that is being prosecuted in New York.
Right.
Okay, but this woman dumps a little paint on the BLM thing on the street, and all of a sudden, my God, that woman has got to be stopped. That is vandalism.
She wants the police to be refunded, and she actually said refund the police, and she was heard shouting, Jesus matters, we will never support Black Lives Matter. This is a black woman. Remember, all along, Craig and I have been saying the majority of black people are just like we are, good, decent, hardworking people. Yet, unfortunately, there is a minority within their population who are vocal, horrible, vile, anti-American, with their hands out, gimme, gimme, you owe me sorts. And they are so vocal that they're drowning out the good black voices.
And it's a shame. It's really a shame, because people have just about had it with some of this. And a little bit later in the show, I've got another thing I want to bring up about good black people having had it with this crap. But let's go back to New York here for just a second. The woman who was putting the paint down, splattering paint all over the BLM mural. It's a giant bumper sticker painted on the street, let's be honest.
Right.
Okay. She was pouring blue paint on it. Blue for the cops, right? Here's the thing. De Blasio, New York City mayor, has assigned 27 police officers, New York's finest, to protect that damn mural.
Right.
Okay. What you got here is you got 27 cops hated by the BLM, targeted by the thugs of Antifa and the BLM, having to guard, protect graffiti on the street that was put there by people who hate the cops.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now maybe I'm wrong, Diane, and if I am, I rest assured that you will correct me, but don't you think 27 cops could be put to better use given the staggering rise in violent crime in New York than protecting a giant damn bumper sticker that's been painted on the asphalt?
Well, it's reached such a heated point in New York that their former governor, he was a Republican, George Pataki, has actually said for the first time in his life he's worried about the future of New York City. He's worried that there is no police protection. He is worried about the mentally ill that are just roaming the streets of New York, the homeless mentally ill. He is worried about crooks, thieves, everything else being set free to roam the streets of New York. People are going to lose their lives needlessly because of the demonization of the police and the discrimination of acts where people should be arrested and put away, but instead are being turned loose onto the streets. This is what their former governor has said.
Put yourself in the position of a New York City cop. And not just New York City. I mean, this kind of crap is going on all over the place. Atlanta, Chicago, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle. Okay? Put yourself in the place of the cops. Okay? You go out and you arrest these thugs, these thieves, these arsonists, these looters. Right? You go out and arrest these violent criminals and you haul them down to police headquarters and you book them on charges only to see them turned loose before the end of the night. Why, as a cop, would you even bother to put yourself in danger trying to arrest these people and stop the destruction, stop the violence, stop the killings, if you know that the people you're putting away at 8 o'clock at night are going to be roaming the streets at 11?
You wouldn't. Well, here's something interesting that I'm just finding out now. Ex-Governor Pataki is so furious about the nursing home situation in New York.
Oh,
where
boy.
Cuomo put sick people into nursing homes basically to cull the elderly herd. He is now considering re-entering politics and maybe taking Cuomo on.
George Pataki's been out of politics for how long?
A decade.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I guess I didn't realize he'd been out of the game for that long.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he does it. He was a decent governor of New York. And look, Cuomo, for what he did with the nursing home, he knew that the virus would spread. He knew that elderly people would die. As far as I'm concerned, he needs to be brought up on charges.
And hasn't he tried to blame all that on Trump?
On Trump. Yeah.
Like it was Trump his decision.
With it.
It was his decision.
The hospital ship there that Cuomo didn't even take advantage of. De Blasio didn't take advantage of.
Unbelievable. Idiots. Morons. Yeah. Absolute morons. Well, yeah. and Cuomo in New York isn't any better. He's right up there in the parade of morons.
Cuomo's very bad. In fact, his father must be turning over in his grave. His father was an ex-governor, Mario Cuomo, a Democrat, but more in line with a Kennedy-type Democrat. Andrew Cuomo has gone all the way over to the AOC nutcase side.
Well, it's hard to disagree with you there, but if you want to talk about nutcases, can we talk about Joe Biden for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
Joe Biden came out and said, and I quote, "I wish we taught more in our schools about the Islamic faith," unquote.
Mm-hmm.
What?
First of all, it's not a faith. It's a political system masquerading in the guise of calling itself a religion.
Now,
it's not a religion.
It's already being taught in our schools.
Yes.
Try teaching Judaism or Christianity in our schools and see how far you get.
You don't.
You don't. You get fired. You may as well tweet, "Trump is our president," because you're out the door.
Right.
Right? This was yesterday. Biden was at some thing. It was called Engage Action's Million Muslim Voter Summit. Okay? I'm not making this up.
No.
So he came out of the basement for that? Okay? He said, look, one of the things I think is important, I wish we taught more in our schools about the Islamic faith. I wish we talked about all the great confessional faiths. It's one of our great confessional faiths.
Really? What do they confess? Oh, I'm sorry, I honor killed my daughter today because she looked at somebody. Oh, I honor killed my wife because she took her burqa off because she couldn't breathe.
You know, Diane, in you're making a cardinal mistake here. You see, in the Muslim, quote-unquote, use your air quotes, quote-unquote, faith, such an admission is not a confession. It's just flat-out bragging.
True. Well, this part gets me, what Biden said. Don't you realize we all come from the same root here in terms of our fundamental basic beliefs? No, we don't.
Not even close.
We value life. Christians and Jews, the Abrahamic and the Christian faiths, we value life. Islam thrives on death. It's a death cult.
No doubt about it.
I mean, we've got to tell it like it is.
Now, let me bring up what Malcolm Kenyatta. Okay, this guy is a state representative from Pennsylvania. He was part of that meeting with Biden, that group, that whatever you call it. Okay, he said, you know, Biden wants to teach more about the Islamic faith in our schools to school students, right? This guy, this Malcolm Kenyatta says, quote, There's nothing currently in law prohibiting schools or other public buildings from doing this, unquote. Now, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can't say a Christian prayer in a public school or you get suspended. If, in a lot of cases, if you're playing football and you score a touchdown and you point to the heavens, you're off the team. If, God forbid, your school has a Christmas program, oh right. My God, all hell breaks loose. Okay, but there's nothing currently in the law prohibiting schools or other public buildings from doing this. Try singing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen at the post office and see how far you get. Try doing it in a shopping mall and see how far you get.
Well, the leftist loons, you know the words that are on our money, in God we trust? Well, those words, they claim, are solely associated with Christianity, which makes it tantamount to state-sponsored religion. Really, God, you know, the general term, G-O-D, God is state-sponsored religion?
Well, it is when you think about it from the term of mindset of a lefty, of a liberal, it is.
Okay? Oh, right. When you think of it from their mindset, yes.
We've got to do away with "In God We Trust." We can't say "One Nation Under God" in a public place. Okay, we can't do that. Okay, but hey, you know. Teaching more about Islam in our schools, wife, there's nothing wrong with that.
See, what people don't understand is Islam, Muslims, they follow the Sharia law. These people believe that Sharia law trumps the Constitution. There's a main problem there. When you think something trumps the Constitution as far as the rule of law in these United States, there's a serious issue. Now, something else very serious that's sneaking in, as we've all been focused on the marauding coronas, as we've all been focused on all the other BLM nonsense going around, more and more Muslims are running for Congress and other state and federal offices.
And approximately 93% of them don't believe in the Constitution.
Correct.
Let that sink in.
Yeah. People, I mean, wake up.
If Biden has his way and we teach more and more about Islam in our public schools, we'll be having beheadings at recess.
Oh, please.
I mean, think about it. You know, boy, if you... If one of the girls in class shows their face, they could be stoned over the lunch hour.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is Islam.
This isn't funny, folks. Islam, they consider themselves a religion. Yet their religion is okay to go into American public schools, but Judaism and Christianity isn't. Why is that religion trumping Christianity and Judaism?
Especially, well, I can answer that.
Judaism is over 5,000 years old, Christianity over 2,000 years old, and Islam just came around in the 600s?
I can answer that.
Okay.
And I'm not being snarky about this. The reason that is... No, I'm not, honestly.
I'm joking.
The reason Islam's okay and Christianity and Judaism aren't, as far as being taught in public schools, is that Islam, the ideology, the political ideology of it, is diametrically opposed to the political ideology that is the foundation of the United States. Christianity and Judaism are not diametrically opposed. That's why it's okay to teach Islam and not Christianity or Judaism. That's it in a nutshell. Well, if you're going to fundamentally transform America, you cannot teach things in a public school that lend people to strengthen the foundation of this nation's basic ideology. But if you teach something that's diametrically opposed to the ideology of freedom, okay, that's fine.
Well, remember, this whole nonsense with Islam started to make inroads when Common Core came in.
Yeah, that's when you started seeing the pillars of Islam displayed in school buildings.
I remember seeing it. I'll never forget the first time I walked into my kids' elementary school, and I saw the five pillars of Islam. Well, that set me off, and I said a few things in that school. Nothing happened. Nothing, you know, was done. Oh, well, we have to be inclusive, and we're trying to make, you know, Muslim children feel better about themselves. In the meantime, we had no Muslim children in my kids' school. This came in with Common Core.
It did. It's all part of the package. It's a package deal.
Right. It's all nonsense. It's all, you know, taking down statues and destroying statues, that's nothing compared to what's going on now with this Islam stuff.
You've heard of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, right?
Yes.
That's a group that goes around and raises all sorts of crap. If you put any kind of a Christmas theme in a park, or they even raise hell about visible crosses on steeples on churches and stained glass windows.
Atheists, basically, yes.
Right. Okay. They were contacted and asked their opinion of what Biden said about we should teach more Islam in schools. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation refused to respond.
Yeah. Even they're smart enough to know what's going on here. This is politicized.
They're all for it. They know it's an ideology, not a religion.
Right.
Okay, they just don't want to get caught saying it out loud. You and I, we don't care. We say it out loud.
We say it, we write about it, and we don't hide it.
You know, it is what it is. It's an ideology of destruction and death.
Right, and it masquerades as a religion.
Are all Muslims that way? No.
No, of course not.
Okay, but the what they call the radical Muslims, and yes, the president of Turkey, Erdogan, there is no such thing as a moderate Muslim, he'll tell you. Islam is Islam, and it's an insult to say there's a moderate Islam, okay?
Correct.
Now, you and I know different. We know some moderate Muslims, okay?
Yes.
They don't ascribe to the ideology of hate and death and destruction and murder. You know, they don't. People like Mudar Zakra, great friend of the show, good friend of ours. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of doctors, a lot of attorneys. They don't ascribe to that.
Right.
Okay? Those aren't the people we're talking about here. We're talking about the lunatic fringe of Islam. And it's a growing fringe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if you don't fall in with that, if you're a Muslim and you don't fall in with that, your life is in danger.
Well, very simply, also, if you don't condemn, you condone.
Right. You know, so this thing with Biden. Phew.
He really needs the padded room.
He's pandering to the wrong crowd.
Right. He's the marionette on the far, far left's strings. He doesn't have an original thought or an original plan, anything. Remember, the man just stole Trump's, you know, Made in America, Buy in America plan.
Right.
He is being manipulated to run. If he gets elected, he won't be running this country, folks. Are you ready for the likes of AOC telling you what to do? Are you ready for the likes of that green ridiculous deal. That's what we're going to have with the Biden presidency.
Let's call a turd, shall we?
Yeah.
Biden gets elected, Trump's running the show. Or maybe not Trump, but I mean Obama is running the show.
Right. He gets his third term in office. He didn't get it through Hillary de facto, but he's going to get it through Biden if people don't wake up.
Just the way it is. Folks, we got one more segment of the show left to go. A couple more things we want to bring up for you tonight in our freewheeling conversation of hot topics. So, folks, you stay where you are. Diane and I will stay where we are, and we'll be back with more Right Side Patriots after this.
OTC is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copyus is go.
Houston flight is go.
Policom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Glad to have you on board, getting you through a Tuesday evening edition of the show. Freewheeling talk show tonight. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Together, the Right Side Patriots. Diane, we got about 28 minutes left in the show. And, you know, this reminds me the format we're doing tonight without, you know, specific segments and articles and all that. This is you and me talking in the middle of the day on Skype every single day.
Yeah, we live, breathe, sleep, eat, digest news.
You know,
we're news junkies, junkies.
Folks, you're kind of getting an inside here on this, inside peek. Because Diane and I will connect on Skype. Did you see this? And one of us will say whatever this is. And we'll talk about it for several minutes. And the other one will say, yeah, well, I saw something else. What do you think of this? And we'll talk about that for a few minutes. It just goes back and forth and back and forth. When we're writing articles, we'll write for a while. And then one of us will see something pop up in the feed. And we'll call the other one up on Skype. Guess what?
Yeah.
You know, and what a moron, what an idiot, what this, what that, you know. This is us. This is just us blowing off the top of our head on things that are going on in the big wide world out there. You know, one of the things that's been going on now, and this goes back a few weeks. Folks, you remember that couple in St. Louis, right? Mm-hmm. That got busted for trying to defend their property. There's a couple of attorneys, okay, live in a big, big, nice house in St. Louis. And the BLM and Antifa came rampaging into their neighborhood, broke down their gate, stormed onto their property, were trespassing. They were shouting at the people, threatening to break into the house, light the house on fire, and kill the couple that lived there. The couple comes out onto the front portico, and she has a handgun, he's got an AR-15, and they defended their property. They didn't shoot anybody. Okay? Didn't shoot anybody. But they defended their property because the police were nowhere to be found. Okay, there were people with the BLM and Antifa that had weapons of their own. Pictures showed that. Photos showed that. Well, this couple got in trouble. They got busted. Now they have been formally charged with felonies.
Yes. And there's something that There was one photo that was put up, and it has probably been taken down since then. Not only did they go past their house, they actually broke the gate that separated this house from the sidewalk, for lack of a better word. They actually caused damage to these people's house.
Yeah.
To their outside.
Well, and they were threatening them, verbally threatening to kill them. That's the issuance of terroristic threats.
Right.
Okay.
But now there were calls for a probe of the prosecutor who filed the charges against the couple, and it's being called a textbook case of abuse of power.
And I think that is absolutely correct. Mark and Patricia McCluskey are the couple.
Right.
Okay, they're both in their 60s. Okay. They used to be BLM supporters. Used to be BLM supporters. Not anymore. Okay. Right. But the attorney general in Missouri is livid. Livid about this couple being, the McCluskeys being charged. He is PO'd about it. His name is Eric Schmidt. And he said, you know, this is wrong. This is, you know, this couple did nothing wrong. They were defending themselves. He said, Missouri has one of the strongest castle doctrines in the country.
Yes.
Okay, and that means you can defend your home.
Yes. Well, here's something else. The Mike Parsons, the governor of Missouri, actually said on Hannity that without a doubt he will pardon the McCluskeys, who are, what he said, being attacked, frankly, by a political process.
And that's it. It's all politics.
Yes.
Okay.
They hate Trump so much, these people, that they will do anything.
Kim Gardner is the circuit attorney that's handling the prosecution, and she is targeting this couple. She's targeting the McCluskeys.
Right.
You know, this is sick. I mean, when you think about it, this is absolutely sick. The attorney general, Schmidt, said, you have a right to defend yourself, the lives of your family members, your home, and your property. That extends to your property. And this was on private property. The attorney general's got it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, absolutely. Eric Schmidt, the attorney general of Missouri, he's got it right. Now, this Kim Gardner argued that the McCluskeys, who are both personal injury attorneys, were exhibiting unlawful behavior by waving their guns in a threatening manner. Their lives were under threat, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I'd like to know a little bit about this Kimberly Garner. First, I would like to know, is she a BLM supporter? And I'd also like to know her race. I don't
She's
know
black.
What she is.
She's black.
Huh. Okay, there you go.
Apparently, she has quite a track record of political decisions. Okay?
Okay.
It's not about the rule of law to her. It's about what's best for the party. And that comes from the Attorney General, Eric Schmidt. Okay, he said, the fact of the matter is the Castle Doctrine, defending your property, is not even an affirmative defense that you raised. It means that under these circumstances and the charges that were brought, the unlawful use of a weapon, it's not even a crime.
And here's something. Here's her charges. She said what they did was a violent assault against those exercising their First Amendment rights.
Yeah,
this woman should be disbarred.
She also said that those people were going about their normal business. Well, if their normal business is breaking into people's property, breaking their gates, storming the property, threatening to burn the house to the ground, and threatening to kill the residents of the house, then yeah, they were going about their normal business.
Well,
How sick is this? This prosecutor ordered the police. The police did not want to do this, by the way.
Right.
But she ordered the police to go in there and confiscate their weapons. So now she's running afoul of the U.S. Constitution because those weapons were legal weapons. They were registered weapons. They had jumped through all the flaming hoops to have those weapons. Okay. She took them away.
Well, let's go a little bit further here on what she said, what her actual charges were. Okay, she announced charges of felony unlawful use of a weapon, and she followed it with this. I am alarmed at the events that occurred over the weekend where peaceful protesters were met by guns and a violent assault. We must protect the right to peaceably assemble, and any attempt to chill it, get that, folks, through intimidation or threat of deadly force will not be tolerated. It is illegal to wave weapons in a threatening manner. That is unlawful in the city of St. Louis. Okay? But it's okay for the BLM to wave their weapons in an assaulted, you know, manner, but not okay for the people defending their home.
Apparently, it's also okay to break down their gate and storm onto their property and be trespassing and threatening to kill them and threatening to burn down their home. That's a peaceable assembly, according to this you-know-what.
Yeah.
This little piece of...
No, you have to hold me back from what I want to say.
You know, look, here's the thing. The McCluskeys did nothing wrong. These are good, upstanding people. Okay, they're a positive influence in their community. They're productive members of society. They were exercising their rights, their Second Amendment rights under the U.S. Constitution and the right to defend their property under Missouri law. Their guns were not illegal. They were registered and legally owned. Okay? These people break into their property, break down the gate, storm onto the property, trespass, threaten to burn down their home, and kill them. And this woman, this gardener, her advice was that if that happens to you, simply go inside your house and film them with your camera, with your cell phone camera.
Well, here's something, Craig.
No, thank you.
Guess who she was partially... funded by in her political ads, you know, to get this position. You ready for this, folks? George Soros.
Well, I'm just shocked.
Yes.
Absolutely shocked.
Yep. His super PAC gave $190,750.
Jeez Louise.
With Soros himself giving at least $30,000.
There's your problem right there.
Yep.
Now, speaking of the BLM, okay, I said early in the show, there I had an example of good black people doing the right thing when it comes to the BLM. Okay, Dallas, Texas. Black Lives Matter showed up in downtown Dallas a couple of days ago, and they tried to start a riot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was a restaurant, people outdoors, kind of one of those outdoor cafe things. You know, there's a big fountain there that everybody likes, very relaxing, very nice place to eat your dinner. This bunch shows up, mostly white people in the BLM crowd, okay? They start shouting and screaming and yelling. Then they start throwing crap at people, families. There's kids there, too. Families eating their dinner. Well, one of the people that was sitting there eating their dinner, his name is Damani Bryant Felder. He's a black man. Okay, He gets up his camera, his cell phone, and he starts filming live to Instagram and openly denouncing the activists as they were trying to intimidate those who were trying to have a nice dinner.
Right.
Pretty soon, the police got there and busted this crap up. But this guy, this Felder, he was pissed. So there's this place where people come to have a nice dinner and relax, and there's all sorts of people sitting there. There's black people, there's white people, there's brown people, doesn't matter. They're all sitting there having a nice dinner, enjoying themselves, relaxing, doing what all Americans should do. And then this crap starts up out of the middle of nowhere?
Right. Well, he also said this is Marxism, cultural Marxism to a T. They did not come out here to be heard. They came out here to create a scene. And he went on to say that this restaurant was full of both white and black people, as well as a black musician, enjoying a peaceful evening and meal before the BLM agitators showed up.
Isn't that something?
They're trying to start a race war.
That's all they're trying to do. And these were mostly, he said, and you could see it because he, you know, I've seen part of his video.
Yeah, I've seen it too.
You know, and there's more white people in the BLM group than there are anything else. And he was just pissed. The man was pissed, and he had a right to be.
Well, what these white people in the BLM movement are, they're mostly young people. They're apologists. They believe that they did something wrong, you know, slavery. Never mind that they weren't alive during slave days. Never mind that the people they're defending were not alive during slave days. None of that matters. In other words, the BLM group, folks, is a racist organization who thinks everything is owed them because of their color of their skin.
Right. And it's gotten to the point where it's absolutely ludicrous.
Okay. Yeah, and we're sick of it.
Mr. Felder said that other black people joined him in denouncing the activists.
Right.
You know, and that's great. That's the way it ought to be. There's no room in this country for people to come in and start up like that. Just trying to get a rise out of people, trying to ruin people's night, trying to get people involved in violence. That's all these idiots were doing. Now, Mr. Felder called them effing idiots at a couple of points in his video because he was that mad. And I don't blame him. You know, I mean, I really don't. He had every right to be that mad. He said, they brought this on the entire establishment because they cannot effing behave and they can't learn to express themselves like adults. They came out here to create a scene and now they're acting like they're the oppressed people.
They're not oppressed. They're all, you know, they came out of their parents' basements, as we like to say.
Exactly.
This is ridiculous. Craig... This whole BLM movement, came to the forefront with Obama and his line, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. This is ground zero of Obama's fundamental change of America. He wants a brown nation, a black nation. White people will be the slaves to the black taskmasters. That's what this goal is.
Sick. It's sick. Well, look, Diane, we got about 10-12 minutes left here, and I want to get to one more spacey geeky thing.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Because I'm sick of these BLM goons.
I know.
I'm sick of the Antifa goons. I'm sick of the COVIDs. All right. SpaceX announced the other day that they're looking to use the Dragon crew capsule to bring those two astronauts, Bob and Doug, back from the International Space Station on August 1st.
Right.
Okay? That's the plan for right now. Everything's been going great with that mission. The Dragon crew capsule's been working perfect. They've done so much with it, even since they've been there at the space station working perfect. But yesterday, SpaceX launched another one of those multi-satellite things, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the Falcon 9. Well, the whole idea here is to have reusable spacecraft, and that's what the Falcon 9 does. Now, part of the whole thing is, when they go to release those multiple satellites, there's two nose cone fairings that come off like a clamshell and depart. And those things wind up re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. Okay? Yesterday, for the first time, they were able to catch both of them.
Right.
I mean, this is so cool. These things come down on little tiny parachutes, these fairings, right? They come down on these little tiny parachutes. SpaceX has these little drone ships that have these big nets strung out. The drones are honing in on a signal, a GPS signal, that's embedded in the fairing, and the drone has to try and get underneath it and catch it. They've caught one on a couple of different occasions, but yesterday they caught both of them.
Wow.
I mean, this is so cool to me that, that they're able to do this. You know, and it's just, and here's something else I love, Diane, and I don't know if you're kind of geeked out by this like I am. SpaceX has the greatest names for their drone ships.
Oh, yeah.
have you noticed this? I mean, this is wild. I'm trying to find it here in this little article. They've got the name of the one that was catching these things yesterday. Ms. Treeboat was one of them. Ms. Treeboat. Another one that caught, or where the main part of the rocket landed, that drone ship is called Just Read the Instructions.
Well, there's always, you know.
Yeah. And wasn't there one of the drone ships that's called something like I Love You Too?
Yeah. Yeah, something along those lines.
I mean, I don't know who's coming up with these names for these drone ships, but you got to love it.
Well, the whole SpaceX mission and what they're doing is phenomenal because it's going to put us back in space. We're not going to have to hitch rides at an expensive cost with the Russians anymore. We'll be back as the domineering force in space. Remember, he who controls space controls the Earth.
I kind of think we're already there. Yeah. I mean, the fact that we're now able to launch the Dragon crew capsule with a crew on board, get it to the space station. You know, we got to get it back. It's not over yet. We got to get it back on August 1st.
Right.
But that thing is so high-tech. It is so slick. The fact that they can put four astronauts in there and a whole bunch of cargo.
Yes.
And still have room to, you know, stretch their legs a little bit, as it were. The fact that the Falcon 9s, the rockets themselves are reusable. The fact that Musk has been doing this launch and recovery thing now for a while. You know, this is, we're already way ahead of what the Russians are capable of at this point, or anybody else.
Well, one thing people need to remember, yes, SpaceX is an independent company, but it is working in conjunction with NASA. Do not think for a minute that SpaceX is doing all of this alone. They're not.
Right, they're not. They, you know, for instance, it's just you know, a for instance thing, the docking mechanism that docks the Dragon crew capsule to the ISS, that is designed by NASA.
Correct.
Okay, and it's got to be the exact thing that NASA has. And, of course, NASA had the space station up there long before the Dragon crew capsule existed. So SpaceX had to specifically design the crew capsule to use that particular docking mechanism.
Right. And also remember, for the most part, some SpaceX launches have not occurred at the Cape, but most of them do.
Right. And that's, you know, that's another one of those things where NASA is intimately involved.
Right.
You know, now, the design of the capsule, you know, the interior, the workings of it, yeah, it's all designed by SpaceX, but the software has to match with NASA's.
Right. It's privatization of space, sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of.
But it's more than any other country's doing as far as privatization.
Absolutely.
You know,
and remember, somehow this is all going to be tied in to Space Force as well.
Yeah, and we don't know exactly what that tie-in is
yet. Right.
And that's okay, because there are certain things we don't need to know right now, because if we know them, then our enemies would know them too.
Correct.
You know, so there are certain things that are best held close to the vest, as it were. But this partnership between SpaceX and NASA is opening up a whole new realm of space travel. And it is so ultimately cool.
I'd love to go on one of the Dragon capsules one of them.
Those things look amazing on the inside.
They're very, compared to the original capsules, they're very spacious.
Well, and even compared to the crew quarters on board the shuttle, they're spacious.
Yes. And they have the zero gravity chairs, too, which I love.
Yeah. Well, and of course, once you get up there, everything's zero gravity.
True. True. You know? But not when you're still here on Earth. It goes in the zero gravity position. And anyone with even a remote back injury knows about that.
It was so neat when they did the liftoff. At the end of May, and Diane, we all remember what happened to you on that day.
I missed the liftoff, yes.
you decided instead to get hit by a car.
Yeah, okay. I decided on that. Mm-hmm.
But when the two astronauts got into the thing, you know, you remember the old capsules from Apollo days, where the ground crew kind of shoehorned the astronauts into their seats. You know, not anymore. It used to take a lot of pushing and stuffing and twisting and tucking and, you know, all this kind of nonsense to get them in there. Now they just open up the hatch, the guys walk in there, and they climb up in their seats and buckle up.
Well, remember seeing the seats? What were they, like, four across?
Yeah.
It's a totally different design than the old Apollo and Gemini and Mercury capsules. Totally different.
And all the controls now are on big LCD panels.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like science fiction come to life.
I love it.
It's very cool, and congratulations to them. But yeah, catching the two fairings yesterday, catching both of them for the very first time, that's a neat deal. That really is.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks.
It's very key to the reusability of all the rockets and the equipment.
You know, it used to be you just hoped the thing came down and didn't hit somebody. You know, now you go out there with a little drone ship and you chase the thing down under its parachute and catch it in the net.
Right.
What a huge difference.
It's amazing.
We started the show and we ended the show with space geeky stuff, because that's just me and Diane.
Yes.
Got you a lot of political stuff in the middle. Talked about some of the good stuff, some of the bad stuff. We had a few laughs. We hope you enjoyed it. It's just kind of a freewheeling discussion type show. Diane, you're going to have it up on Podbean tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find it there if you missed any part of it. And we hope you share the link to Podbean so other people can hear it too. But with that, Diane, I think it's time for you and I to call it a night and sign off.
Yes, it is. Okay. Good night, folks. See you on Friday. Or should I say, you'll hear us on Friday.
Good night, folks. Have a great one. Friday's coming.